Welcome to the ongoing meditation class at the Buddha Society here in Nollamara. Now, this is the class for those who have meditated before. If you have come to the introduction to meditation class, that will be held in the room to my right. This is the ongoing class. And at this ongoing class, we mention something about meditation every week. To enhance people's understanding of the meditation path. So what we say here on a Saturday afternoon is not supposed to be covering the whole area of meditation, but focusing on one aspect of it to improve your abilities to make the mind peaceful, calm, happy and wise. And I just come back from giving some teachings in Melbourne, and it's one of the similes which I've used, and I only usually use this on meditation retreats. It's a very powerful way to look at meditation, and it also means that we have a way of understanding what we should be doing and why we should be doing it. And that's a simile which I've given on retreats called the opening the lotus. Now, for many of you know a lotus, that it closes its leaves at night time, and when the sun comes up in the morning, it heats up, lights up the outermost petal of the lotus, and that lotus opens up to reveal the layer of petals inside, so that can receive the warmth and the light of the sun. That opens up to reveal the next layer of petals, and layer after layer, they open up one after the other, and each time the sun can warm up that petal to open up to reveal the layer of petals inside. And in that simile, the body, the mind, that is the lotus, that's you. And the sun, the sun's light stands for mindfulness, its warmth stands for kindness. And as long as the mindfulness and the kindness keeps warming up something, you'll find the meditation opens up to go into the deeper and deeper levels of meditation. In other words, you start with this body and mind, you, and you just shine the light of mindfulness, the warmth of kindness onto whatever you're experiencing right now in this moment. And you'll find that, first of all, so the body opens up in the sense that you get beyond all the feelings and the sensations in the body which we spend too much time worrying about and being concerned about. As you get older, that those are much more hard to ignore. But we hope we can sit in a position where those feelings and sensations can sort of disappear. And when they do, inside the meditation, one comes to the mental world, that's inside the body. And when one gets into that mental world of many thoughts and many ideas, and you go into the center of that just with mindfulness and kindness, and you find that in the center of that is what we call the present moment, the now. That's in the center of time. And if you go and just stay with the present moment, you don't do anything, you keep mindful of it. In other words, you know what's happening and you're being kind to it. That opens up to another layer, which is usually the silence. This is where there's no words going on in the mind. There's no running commentary. You're aware without giving things a name. Well, you're seeing things much more clearly. You're not seeing their labels, you're seeing what they are. This is what we call the silent awareness of the present moment. And of course, this just lives inside the present moment. So you just, in the present moment, just be kind, be mindful. It just happens by itself in due course. And when you're just watching this silence, just being mindful, being kind to the silence, you find that opens up. And inside that, you find, this natural breath, which I've been teaching many people to do the last few years. And when that natural experience of the breath comes up, it's always very soft and easy to watch because it's come up in the right time. You just watch that breath with mindfulness, with kindness, not doing anything. Just your job, like the sun, is to apply mindfulness and kindness, like the sun applies its light and warmth. And then after a while, that layer of petals opens up and you get into what we call the beautiful breath. And that beautiful breath, that opens up into these beautiful nimitta states, which I like to talk about, especially on retreats. And if you really want to go deep, you just stay with mindfulness and kindness on this nimitta, not doing anything, just being kind, being mindful, and that usually opens up into the jhanas. Now, that particular simile has a lot of advantages. One of its advantages is to know that you can go into any pond, you know, even here in Australia, in Perth, you see these lotuses all closed up, and they look so unlikely. You think, my goodness, that outermost petal is rough, it's dirty, it's serrated, it's got no scent. Now, you'd think if you didn't know what a lotus was, that there's no hope to find anything beautiful or subtle inside of it. It's just harsh. In the same way that many of people, when they start meditation, they think, my goodness, maybe, you know, these monks and these nuns can do all these amazing things, but me, how can I sort of get into these amazing, deep, peaceful, blissful states of meditation? I just can't do it. That is not correct. Inside each one of you, if you just can go deeper and deeper and deeper inside, then you'll find these amazing states. So number one, it shows you this, you can do it, it's inside of you. You just have to somehow open up this thing called your body and mind to find a way inside. And number two, it shows you the way to get inside, which is not trying, not putting forth effort, not peeling back the petals of the lotus, but just maintaining this wonderful, powerful combination of mindfulness and kindness. The mindfulness just observes what's happening right now, so it just receives. It's a passive, conscious awareness of what's happening. And the kindness, or the warmth of the sun, which is also important, is just allowing it to be, being a friend to this moment, not regarding this body or this mind or any part of your mind as your slave. Because it is just the way we've been brought up, our conditioning, the way we look at things. Yeah, maybe, you know, the people around us, we can't boss around, but my own body, my own mind, that's mine, that belongs to me, I can boss it around. Which is sometimes why we just really force our body to do things it just doesn't like doing, which is why we get sick. We treat our body like a slave, not like a friend. And sometimes the way we treat our mind too. We dominate it, then we tell it what to do, and that's why sometimes our mind rebels. And we get either anxious, depression, or any other psychological diseases. In the same way that our body gets sick because of physical stress, our mind gets sick because of mental stress. We're ordering it around, we're bossing it around. And you all know that a bit of kindness, a bit of softness is a beautiful way to ease or even heal the physical sicknesses in the body just by being kind to whatever's happening in your body. That helps, if not actually cures the diseases and other problems. But it also works in the mind as well, a bit of TLC on your mind. In other words, whatever you experience, be kind to it. Treat your mind like a friend. Your friend might be going through some hard times, but don't tell your friend, you're being stupid. Come on, get your act together. You know, you shouldn't feel depressed. You know, don't feel anxious. You should be much better than that. That's not the way you treat a friend. You treat a friend just with a bit of sympathy, with a bit of empathy, giving them space, giving them time, encouraging them. That's how we treat our mind, with kindness. I know that somebody asked me when I was in Melbourne, how can you be kind, say, to this thing like the present moment? And there was they needed to make that jump. It's easy, or maybe you know how to be kind to a person. Maybe you know how to be kind to like an animal, like a cat or a dog. And can you make that jump to apply that same compassion and kindness to an inanimate thing, to like even like a mental object, like your breath? Can you be kind, compassionate to your breath? And we have the ability as human beings to do this thing called to anthropomorphize. In other words, we see an object, we can give it a name, we can treat it like a person. Sometimes people give their cars, you know, human names. And because we can anthropomorphize, we can give a name to a machine, it means we can also give kindness to these things like the breath. We can give kindness to the present moment even. What do I mean by kindness? We open the door of our heart to this moment. We allow it to be with a sense of warmth and respect and value. In the same way that, you know, you're kind to so your best friend, if you go out for coffee with them, you don't order them around. You're kind to, say, the breath or to the present moment, whatever stage you're aware of right now, you're kind to it. And that kindness gives that right attitude towards this moment, which actually stabilizes that experience. If you're kind to, say, the breath sticks with you. If you're cruel to it, it runs away. If you're kind to the silence stays. But if you try and order it around, manipulate it, control it, the silence vanishes. So it's a kindness which maintains that object and also allows it after a time just to open up to see what's deeper inside of it. So that means that you don't actually do anything. You don't aim for anything. You don't sort of expect anything. You just stay with whatever you experience and whatever that is right now. And you just apply mindfulness and kindness. And if you understand that, that is a fast way into deep meditation. It means that you just sit here. Your job is nothing more than to observe, be mindful, and to be kind to whatever you're experiencing. And you'll find that then you understand that simile of the lotus. You're just watching, first of all. Sometimes I'm very tired because I work hard and travel around all over the place. And sometimes you're tired. And I just watch that tiredness in the body. I'm kind to it. I don't try and get rid of it. I'm just with it. And then after a little while, I find it vanishes. I'm just going inside of it. And as you go inside of it, then you may be aware of this, you know, this mind in this present moment. And as you're aware of the present moment, you may have some mental dullness. I don't do anything with it. I'm kind to that mental dullness. It's as if it was something which is a being which deserves to exist. It's come about because of causes and conditions. It's part of nature. I don't try and control it and get rid of it. I let it be with kindness. With that softness, it soon vanishes. My mind is clear in the present moment. And the present moment stays because it's a good friend. I'm kind to it. I'm aware of it, kind to it. That's all I manage to do. Be mindful and have an attitude of compassion and kindness and acceptance and value. Then it stays. And after a while, in its own time, the present moment deepens, and it's a silent present moment awareness. I just discover that there is no commentary going on at all. There is no train of thought taking me away into all sorts of weird and fancy universes of past or future. All that thinking, fantasizing, dreaming, all that naming, all that philosophizing just vanishes, because if you really go into the center of the present moment, there's no more commentary anymore. In that silence, I don't do anything, I'm just kind with it, aware of what silence means as an experience. I know it very well now. I'm just kind to it, I let it be, I value it. And after a while, and it's usually not that long, it's as if I'm aware of the breathing, because that's what's in the center of the silence. The petal, the layer of petals called silence opens up, and inside is this beautiful breath. And I shouldn't say beautiful breath yet, because the delightful breath comes next. After a while, you're just aware of the breathing, kind to it, mindful of it, not doing anything with it. And you'll notice, because you're kind to the breath, it softens. And it gets easy. You're not controlling it. It balances and becomes soft and flows freely. And after a while, it becomes very delightful. And once it becomes very delightful, you get to the stage, which I call the delightful breath. And just watching it, you're not doing anything, you're not expecting anything, you're not trying to get into a deeper stage of meditation. You're just being where you are. Once you're where you are, just, you know, mindful in the moment, being kind, then just you'll find that that delightful breath vanishes and you see these beautiful lights coming up in your mind called the nimittas. They just come because they're right inside everything. And for anybody who knows, who wants to know what to do next, just carry on the same attitude, just being aware of what's happening and being kind to it, just allowing it to evolve if that's what's going to happen. And if you are mindful, if you are kind, you don't try and control things, because kindness is the opposite of trying to control. You're just kind to people. And then you'll find the nimitta will open up and you get into these very deep meditations of jhanas. It's a natural process. And it doesn't work because you get involved when you stop your mindfulness Or you stop, more likely, you stop your kindness and you try and control and make things happen. Or you try and get rid of things, or you try and hurry things along. That's the only reason why it doesn't work. So actually, that's a little teaching today, a deeper teaching, but I just want people to get a bit more experience in meditation. So it's a very simple teaching. And you can visualize the lotus and understand how it opens up. And the deeper you go into the lotus, the more beautiful and the more fragrant are the petals. The same way, the deeper you go in meditation, the more fun and the more subtle it is. So that's a little teaching about the simile of the lotus and how it opens up, with mindfulness and kindness coupled together, like the light and the warmth of the sun in the early morning. Okay, so now we can actually do some meditation. And for those who came in late, in case, that this is the ongoing class in meditation. If you come for the introduction to meditation class, for those who haven't meditated before, that is being held in the room to my right with Kanchana. So this is the ongoing class, and I mention that because we're now going to be sitting meditation about 40 minutes, maybe a bit longer, see what happens. And so if you don't know how to sit for long periods of time, it might be a bit difficult for you. But if you know what you're doing, 40-minute meditation, here we go. Sitting down, first of all, just get yourself comfortable. Just put attention to your posture, to how you're sitting, to your body, to make sure that you're in reasonable comfort. You can't get it perfect, but you can usually get it pretty good. Don't think the first 30 seconds or 1 minute you can do very much. With your eyes closed, it takes that time for your awareness to build up so you're sensitive to bodily feelings. When all that area of the brain is not taken up with sight, it is freed so you can explore the world of physical feeling. You just got more space to know how you feel when your eyes are closed. So now, just how are you feeling physically, bodily? Can you adjust the way you're sitting? If so, do so to make your body more comfortable. Just keep on being kind to your body. If there is some pain or irritation inside of your body, that could be bodily stress, even if it's an infection or sickness, still there is some squashing, some pulling, some inflammation, some irritation, which can be ameliorated just through putting your mindfulness in the center of that irritation or pain, and spreading out compassion, kindness from its center. Be kind. when the body is relaxed, relax as you can. See if you can just let the body go. Maybe it's already gone, because with mindfulness and kindness, soon the body vanishes. You go to your mental world with its thoughts, its anxieties and fears. And just be with this mind. No matter what it is, no judging, being compassionate, being kind and mindful. And soon you'll notice your attention goes inside this moment. The past and the future just vanish. As you go to present moment awareness. It can happen naturally just by being kind and being aware. And the compassion treats this moment like a friend. Not controlling it like it's your slave. Being with kindness. And your job is not to try and go anywhere. You are the sun. And you're just shining light and warmth onto your mind. That's all. Being compassionate, being aware. And naturally you go within. The stages of meditation are not what you aim for. It's just what happens. Happy meditating. I'm going to be quiet now till the end. Getting close to the end of the meditation again. How do you feel? How much inner peace, relaxation? How deep did you go? And why? This is where we learn about meditation. We learn what it does and how it works by reflecting just to the last couple of minutes of the meditation. Now ring the gong 3 times. Please listen to every sound of the gong. When it finishes, come out of the meditation. So hopefully little by little every week as you come here and listen, the explanations of meditation, not just by myself but by other monks and nuns, you get to understand just this beautiful path of how to get the mind to be still. Meditation is about stillness, to be still. But to somehow find a way to leave the mind alone, to allow it to become still. Mindfulness gives you feedback. You see the nature of the mind changing. You see whether it's getting more restless or more still. See if it's getting more clear or more dull. You usually find that with that mindfulness, as long as you're being kind, as long as you're just leaving things alone, the mind settles down all by itself. For many years, that people like myself, when I was young, thought you had to struggle to be peaceful. You had to put this hard effort of controlling to make the mind still. It used to get me very frustrated. Sometimes you get strong. It wasn't the same sense of ease and peace and stillness and clarity you get when you follow a path of just being kind and letting things be. And later on, obviously, when I became deeply engrossed in Buddhism and really learned something about the character of a Buddha, you realize that no way would a Buddha be like a, say, like a US Marine. He wouldn't be like a pro wrestler. He'd be very soft, very kind, very gentle. And so these days when I meditate, I always think, how would a Buddha meditate? Just with infinite kindness. This sense of great gentleness, this great sense of not wanting anything, just being a simple monk, be a simple person, just be a simple mind, just be here, instead of wanting to go somewhere else. And to me, that's what kindness is. Kindness is accepting people for who they are, not particularly wanting them to be different, accepting your body for what it is, accepting this mind for what it is. Accepting this moment for what it is. Just being kind and gentle to it. And that's a great and a very powerful form of letting things be. Letting things be, not interfering. Just the mind naturally gets still. Sometimes it takes a time. Depends how much agitation you've come into the meditation with. That decides how long it takes to slow down. At the very least, By following the path of meditation, you get more peaceful, more still. And at the very end, you could feel that peace. It's something which is no longer a theory, not something you read about in books or hear in talks. It's something which you experience for yourself. Beautiful peace of the mind. And of course, that's such an incredibly valuable thing in our modern world. To be able to sit down in a little hall in the city of Perth, not needing to go into a deep cave in the Himalaya mountains, just to be here and find incredible peace. And this understanding that to be really free, to be free from this controller, free from having to do things, sitting down, content with who you are, with what you've got, with where you are, at peace with your world. Many people seek peace of mind. This is where you find it, and this is how it occurs. So has anyone got any comments or questions about the meditation today, using the simile of a lotus and how it opens up? There's another part of a lotus, which is, but lotus is a quintessential Buddhist symbol. If you go to many temples, you see pictures of lotus, maybe engravings on the wall. Even apparently the lotus software is run by a Buddhist in the United States. Although the lotus sports car, I don't think that's anything to do with Buddhism. Goes far too fast for a Buddhist. So a lotus is a very beautiful simile. And it has all these great messages. The lotus is born in the mud, in the dirt. If you've ever gone to the bottom of a lake, it's filthy, muddy, yucky stuff with lots of bacteria. It grows up out of the murky waters. It goes up to the clear waters close to the surface of the lake and then penetrates the lake into the sunshine. Just like the spiritual path. Just, you know, being born in difficulty and troubles and all the stuff which you've had to deal with in your life, in my life. But yes, you can grow from that. Push through and get into the clear way of life. Simple, not too many problems. You're always rooted in where you came from. And then you go up and up and you penetrate the water into the beautiful warm sunlight. You're a lotus, you've made it, you open up. And the other beautiful simile of the lotus is the fact that if any water drop falls on the lotus, it's got this repellent quality to it, so the water always just falls off. The innermost leaves never actually attract any defilement or any dust. It's just repellent. So that means that whatever comes doesn't stick. We've used that to understand a mind which can allow this moment to come, but this moment never sticks to it. It just rolls off like water on a lotus leaf. It doesn't sort of leave any residue. That's a beautiful simile of how to let go. And whatever's happened to you in life, you don't allow it to stick. It just rolls off and there's no residue left. So you're not carrying the past, especially the pain of the past, not even carrying the beautiful memories of the past. There's someone who walks through life with no baggage, simile of the lotus. So nothing sticks to you. Even in meditation, what happened 5 minutes ago, even a moment ago, is already gone by the time the next moment comes. It's a beautiful, clear, open, free mind, empty of the past, empty of worry of the future, and just peaceful in the moment, just like a beautiful lotus. There's many reasons why the lotus was adopted by Buddhism in the very earliest days, to actually as a symbol with lots of metaphors coming from it. The one I like the best is the way it opens up, because that's the way you open up your mind to go deep within. And it also, it carries the question which many people, because I must say it's mostly Westerners, but modern people in Asia are the same these days. They've had a Western education. You always have this feeling of, you know, lack of self-worth. Thinking, oh yeah, you know, these monks, maybe they can get into these deep meditations, but not me. You know, I'm just an ordinary person. I've got family and I've got all these worries and difficulties. I've got all these problems in my life. I can't get anywhere. But it promises that in the middle of every lotus, no matter how sort of deformed it is on the outside, that's only the outermost petals. You keep going in. and in, you get the most beautiful, fragrant, delightful layers of petals. So it's promising, each one of you. Just go in and you find incredible just how much beauty, how much peace, how much joy, how much amazing stuff lies right in the very center of you, right now. So it's there. All the jhanas, all the enlightenment are right there, right now, deep inside of you. Your job is just to reveal them by opening up, taking off all these layers and layers and layers and layers and layers. And that way you can find what's deep inside of you. Peace, freedom, joy. So it's a promise. You just need to go in and you can find everything which every meditator has ever experienced. Any comments or questions about that? Eddie, no, oh, yeah, go. You've got your hand up first, Eddie. Yeah. Okay, when joy happens in the mind, you don't radiate it, you don't spread it to yourself. It's important when you do get some nice experiences in meditation, don't change, you know, your path, don't change the attitude. Just be kind to the joy, be mindful, don't do anything. Leave things alone. Exactly, let it be, and you'll get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. You don't need to radiate your happiness and joy to other people. That happens automatically, in the same way you don't need to radiate sort of your negativity to other people. If you're negative, people feel it straight away. You don't need to make a conscious decision. Angry people, you can feel them coming a mile away. So it's the same with peace and happiness. You just leave it alone. It's a good question because it's a very common mistake. People get so deep. They're doing the right thing. They're being kind, being mindful, letting things be. And then when it starts to happen, they decide to change course and start to do something and control it. And it all falls apart. That's why people get so far and then they can't get any deeper. They're not so continuing on the same course, which is the course of attitude. It's not what you do, but how you do it, which is just being kind, being peaceful. So that's what one does. And it's also a good question because joy can be expected. Your mind becomes peaceful, it's incredibly joyful. As you go deeper into the lotus, they're more and more beautiful. The innermost petals are the most delightful. Incredibly beautiful. You had a question as well, madam. Yes? Satipatthana Sutta, I just taught according to Satipatthana Sutta. Sometimes the Satipatthana Sutta is given an importance it doesn't deserve. In other words, it's taken out of all the other suttas and considered by some to be the most important meditation. But it always has to be put in the context of everything else the Buddha said. And for those of you who are interested, one of the most forgotten phrases in the Satipatthana Sutta is Vinaya Loke Abhija Domanasam, having abandoned the five hindrances. That's what that means. Look in the commentaries, you'll find that it's its explanation. It's not the time now for me to tell you exactly why that explanation is correct. But it's something which is not really considered. To abandon the five hindrances means no more desire, no more ill will, no more sloth and torpor or restlessness, no more doubt. The mind is peaceful and still. And so the Satipatthana, you don't do mindfulness. It's not something which you establish through an act of will. It's just what happens when you become peaceful and calm and still. In the same way that a lake with waves on the surface, which is agitated, will never give a clear image, a reflection of the moon and stars at night time. A mind which has still got agitation, still thought, still movement, can never reflect the way things truly are. When that lake is perfectly still, or they say a glassy, smooth surface, then it reflects perfectly the image of the moon and stars in the heavens. In the same way, when the mind is perfectly still, only then does it reflect the truth of things. So if one really wants insight, if one really wants to see the way things truly are, you've got to keep the mind perfectly still. So in order to establish insight, stillness has to come first. As the Buddha said many, 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 many times, Samadhi Pachaya Yata Bhuta Yana Dasana. From stillness, the mind sees things as it truly is. From stillness. That's why the way to stillness is the difficult part. And that's why we teach like this. For your mind to be still. And then you'll understand the Satipatthana Sutta. Because you've done the prerequisite. Vinaya Loka Bija Dhammanasa. Having abandoned the five hindrances. Which means you are still. So is that part of Satipatthana which I've been teaching you? There we go. That's a more technical, but it's worthwhile saying. So that's enough for today. It's 18 minutes past four. You've had 3 extra minutes, but I'm not going to charge you. This is all for free.